Amen.
Sure do appreciate the Lord this morning, don't you? It's been wonderful, hasn't it? Boy, it's been wonderful, and I'm so thankful that I got to be here here in this morning service. I sure have enjoyed the preaching and the fellowship, and I got so much help. Just try to summarize a few things. I want to clarify, I'm not meeting Chad Bailey out back after service. Even if you need to raise money, you know, for a fight or something like that. I looked at him, I told him, I said, brother, that's a great preaching. I said, but I'm just going to tell you, you need to pick on somebody your own size. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm not going to go after a big fella. Now, if one of you little boys want to fight, I'll jump on y'all. Say amen right there. Maybe. I don't know. You look awfully wiry there in the green shirt or yellow. And I enjoyed that. And then some of y'all still hung up. You're mad. Mad about somebody picking on some Andy Griffith show. I mean, you just ain't been able to enjoy your morning. But I'll tell you, old Barney liked to smoke. Barney used to get behind the door and get in that sauce. Barney was a womanizer, several women. He's always coming out with lipstick. I feel a little preacher out there, amen. And then the worst thing about it, he always was sleeping in church. What about that? But anyhow, that might be a message for another generation. I don't know. Genesis chapter number 39. And I want to just give you just some things on my heart this morning. And I pray to be a help to you. While you're turning there, I'm glad in a meeting like this. And I'm telling you, some of my favorite preachers in the world are in here. And I'm glad it's not a preaching competition. We all know that Miss Ricky Betts the best preacher anyway. We know that because she told me multiple times. And so I'm glad we're not in competition. Amen. Amen. Sure do appreciate the Lord. All right, let's stand together for just a minute. Could we do that? And I'll have you out of here just real quick and try to get right to the heart of what I want to deal with and what God's been helping me with. Sure do appreciate the Lord. Genesis chapter number 39, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer a Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I'm going to cover a few things through there, but drop down to verse number 7. The Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is in what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And then he said, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to cover a few other things there as we just hasten right along. I want to look a little bit at Joseph and the path of righteousness. Matthew 6 and 33, many of you can quote that verse. The Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe God is interested in you and I being righteous in an unrighteous world. It's not popular. It's not in the mainstream media. Matter of fact, it's not even in mainstream religion. But I do believe that God desires, especially a group of young people like this, he desires us that we would live a righteous life for God. And then in that same verse, he reminds us that God is a rewarder, that when I do put him first, I seek God, I'm living a righteous life, that God reminds me that he will add all these things unto me. When you and I get to heaven, we're not going to give God a receipt of how we didn't come through. Somebody help me right there. We're not going to have to get to heaven, Brother Michael, and say, now, Lord, I did this, and it didn't pan out, or it didn't really pay off. I promise you this, but he is good on his promises,
And God's been far better to us than we deserve. God, God desires to be good to you. And God wants to meet your needs. But he reminds us that if I'm going to do that, you're going to have to put me first. And I believe what you have is a reminder that, like Joseph, that God honors those that are going to honor him. I believe it ought to be a burden and a decision that when you leave camp this week and you go back home, that you've made some righteous decision, not just for now, but for the rest of your life. There's some young adults in here that, they're not young as they used to be, and they're getting older like the rest of us, but we can remember you making some righteous decisions in your life, and where you have that day or that time where you purposed in your heart, when I go home, I'm not going back to what I used to be and the way I used to live, but I'm going to live for God, amen. And God will honor those. And so Joseph very early is going to do that. And so Joseph decided to follow God. And so just quickly notice a little bit, just getting our wheels turning. Notice the grace of God in Joseph's journey. In verses 1 through verse number 4, you find really a summary of what's been happening in Joseph's life. The Bible said in verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, in a very short statement, there has been a lot of things that have there's been a lot of things happen in Joseph's life that has got him from where he was down to Egypt. And in that text, Joseph is already an example that if I will honor God, I'm glad that all things do work together for good unto them that love God, them who are called to his purpose. And I don't know where your life's at. Many of you come and everything's good in your life. But I am telling you, I don't know what kind of things are turning upside down. But there is a God that can make all things work together for good, even in your young life. Amen. It's not just the promise for preachers, or it's not just the promise for grandparents. I'm telling you that if you honor God and live for him, God is able to make all things. Matter of fact, I'm glad God is working it for my good. Amen. So Joseph in that scripture reminds us the path was divine. Verse number 2 is the protection, and the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. He doesn't have a friend. He doesn't have his family fighting for him. He doesn't have a lot. But Joseph isn't worried about what he doesn't have. He's focusing on what he does have. Amen. Too many times we get so caught up on what we don't have that we miss out on what we do have. Amen. Hey, man, I got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. I might not have good circumstance. I might not have what I think I need, but thank God, on my worst day, I still got God, and God still has me. Amen. And here he is, and God is just protecting him hurriedly. And then when God protected him, verse 2, God prospered him. The Bible said the Lord was with him and he was prosperous. Young people, listen, you've got to do everything you can to keep the smile of God on your life. Amen. You look at some people here, and I can mention some of these pastors and those that you've seen God working in their life. It's not that they had a secret. It's not that they get something that you can't have, but they just kept the smile of God on their life, and they put Jesus first, and they turned their back on the world. And every time they did that, the smile of God just stayed on their life. Amen. Prospered him. I'd rather have God prosper me than the world, wouldn't you? He's peculiar, verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Others saw that he's in Egypt and he's different. He's in Egypt. He doesn't talk like an Egyptian. He doesn't act like an Egyptian. He doesn't dress like the Egyptians. He's just in the middle of all this worldliness, and he still lives for God. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how much of the world's around you, you can still live for Jesus. Oh, man. And then in verse 4, there is that position of exaltation. God's grace is working. And I wanted to say this, and I'm going to move on. Joseph had to learn that when I can't make things happen for me, I'm going to have to wait and let God do it. If I were to ask some of you, how many of you want to marry in the will of God, and you want the good job, and you want to labor, and you want to be in ministry, or you desire these things in your life, and the truth of it is, you may not be able to make it happen, but you can just be faithful and stay faithful to God and live for Jesus, because there's a God in heaven, and His time, He knows how to prosper your life. And you got to learn, and I know, help us, Lord, just to stay patient and wait, because God knows what's in front of me. He knows what's behind me. And God's timing is perfect. There's God's grace, got him where he's at hurriedly. Then notice how godly Joseph responds to temptation. Look in verse 9. This is such a familiar text. And now, by the time you get here, this Potiphar's wife has begun to make a move on him. In verse number 6, the Bible said that he was a goodly person. By definition, the word goodly means to be well-favored or to be liked. It means to be pleasant to the eyes. It means to be good-looking or handsome. What about that? Some of you girls, Joseph would have been your type. Some of you other ones, you don't care. As long as he's got a hair and a tooth, bring him on, amen. He's the will of God. I mean, here he is. But the Bible said, I didn't say that. The Bible said that about him. And yet, Brother Michael, he's not arrogant. He's not prideful. He didn't walk in the back doors of Smoky Mountain Youth Revival and say, okay, the stuff is here. Come on now. He didn't come in flaunting it. He didn't come in with some attitude that everything's better than God. No, he is still a humble man, even though God is blessing him at every turn. Verse number 8, the Bible, she's made her move. And then notice that staunch response. The Bible said, but he refused. Let's spend a little time in verse number 9. The Bible said, here's his response. There is none greater in this house than I. In other words, he's saying, now, listen, ma'am, I'm not going to do this. I'm refusing. And here's one of the reasons why. He said, I used to be a pit, and God in his goodness has raised me up from that pit. And now I've got a position. I'm letting you know I'm not giving this up for you. I don't care how well you make it look. I don't care how well you sound. I don't care what you promise me. There's some things I have. I'm not willing to give up my joy. I'm not willing to give up my purity. I'm not willing to give up my talent. I'm not willing to give up my position. I'm not giving this up for you. There will be some things in your life that you look at, the temptations that come, and purpose in your heart. I'm not giving up what God did for me. I'm not giving up the blessings of God. I'm not getting out of God's path. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good it sounds. I am not giving up what God's gave me. As a matter of fact, it got personal. I'm not giving it up for you. There's some of you, you know this. There's somebody waiting back home, and you're going to have to give them up, because if not, you're going to give up something God gave you, a purpose in your heart. I'm not giving up my Bible. I'm not giving up my standards. I'm not giving up my convictions. I'm not giving up my dress code. I'm not giving up my church for nothing or nobody. Got some things I'm not trading. Look at verse 9. Watch what he says. He said, you ready? None greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art what? His wife. Here's a man that knows it's wrong for him to have somebody else's wife. Amen. She's saying it's okay, but God said it's wrong. You listen to me. Somebody is going to get in your ear when you get home, and they're going to try to tell you something is okay that God said no to. That's the wonderful thing about an unchanging book and an unchanging God. He doesn't change truth because of who the president is. He doesn't change truth because of politics. He doesn't change truth because of what year it is. That truth is still truth. Right is still right. And Joseph said, if God said it's wrong, it's wrong. You got to quit having summer after summer of deliberation about what right and wrong is. I'm going somewhere. Watch it. As a matter of fact, here's what he said. He said, I cannot do this what great wickedness. He said, I'm not going to talk about it like it's okay or an option. If I do this, this is a wicked thing. And then notice the phrase, and sin against God. Everybody's preached this, but bear with me. We know what happens in the next few verses. Joseph lost his coat. Joseph lost his position. But he didn't lose his testimony. And he didn't lose his purity. And thank God he didn't even lose his temper. Joseph, you mean you're going to tell her no? You mean that you're not going to do this? Do you realize what it'll cost you? And I'm telling you, there's nothing worth giving up, going to bed at night and pillowing your head. And the world might laugh at you. And somebody in your youth group might pick on you. But when you pillow your head at night and you've got the joy of God and you've got the peace of God and you don't have to go to bed and kill, it's worth it all just to do right. Some of you went to sleep last night and you've got something that the world would give anything to have. You got over there in that hotel room. You pillowed your head. You didn't have to look over your shoulder. You didn't have skeletons in your closet. You still got your purity. You still got your joy. You don't have a guilt complex. I'm telling you, you better stay with God and stay with the good things of God and purpose in your heart. I'm not giving up what God gave me. I ain't giving it up. Lost some things. I'm telling you, he retained some good things. You know this, had Joseph given in, she would have controlled him for the rest of his life. You know why they preach their heart against sin? And I listen, here's why you're at a youth camp this week, and I know you're waiting on that message for that preacher to get up and tell you how good you are, and that you're the best. You didn't come to that kind of youth camp. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because you and I got a flesh. And there's a rampant world that hates the things of God. And we just need to get somewhere where there's some men of God still holding the standard high. And they're still preaching the old book. And they're still believing God for wholeness and righteousness. And I'm just telling you, it'll be worth it all. When you walk down the marriage aisle pure. When you have the touch of God on your life. It's worth it all to stay with God. You know, he's a misunderstood man. He's always been misunderstood. To quote Dr. M. Poindexter, dreamers are always misunderstood, but keep dreaming. Joseph didn't give in. He didn't play the game. I love this. Look at verse 14. Here's what she said about him when she makes the accusation. See, I brought in a Hebrew unto us, Demarcus. She didn't call him Joseph. She called him by his lineage, his family name. She says it again in verse 17. In other words, the Hebrew servant. You know how those people are. In other words, knowing the kind of people, and you do, all you got to do is flip back in the book of Genesis, and you'll find that there in Joseph's life, his brother and his family, there had been immorality, there had been bad decisions. Look back just a few pages, you see that. And when it comes to Joseph's turn, the world thinks he'll give in, and she thinks he'll give in. But here's a man that says, it's time somebody stands up against generational sin. It's time somebody break the curse. Your daddy might have been a drunk, but you don't have to be. Your mama might be on drugs, but you don't have to be. Your family might have busted up, but your marriage don't have to. You may have come on the bus, but one day you might be driving the bus. You may have not known youth camp, but look where God's got you now. You can break the curse and be something great for God.
Let me give you this. Here's my heart. Verse 9, look back. I want you to notice the amount of gratitude that he had. So here's what he does. She's offering him a temptation. And now he talks about his master. He said, neither hath he, talking about Potiphar, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, but thou art his, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? In other words, he said, when I think about how good that this man has been to me, I cannot, Brother Jeff, I can't sin against him. And that's where he uses the phrase, this great wickedness. He's talking about Potiphar. I can't do this to him. Brother Volz, he's saying that this man has been so good to me, I cannot return his kindness by betraying him. Brother Michael, if Joseph can be motivated by the kindness from a man that doesn't know God, if Joseph can be motivated by a man that doesn't know anything about grace and mercy, if Joseph can be motivated by Potiphar being kind to him, then surely there's a group of young people, surely there's some Baptist folk on the side of the road that can be motivated by how good God has been to you and I. In other words, he's saying, when I think about this, he bought me, he placed me, he gave to me. When I think about how good he's been to me, there's no way in the world I could do this against him. How could I say this when I think about where God brought me from? When I think about where I was headed for hell, I think about God coming by my way and saving my soul. I think about God calling me in the ministry. I think about God giving me a little wife. I think about God giving me some babies. I think about God putting clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. I think about where God's brought me from. How in the world can I sin against the God who's been so good to me? Entitlement is killing us. We deserve Smoky Mountain Youth Camp Revival. We deserve the church we go to. We deserve the blessings of God. I tell you what we deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve to be frying in hell right now. We deserve to be in a broken home. We deserve to be in a mess. We deserve to be shipwrecked. But God has been so good to me. And God has blessed my life. God's given me joy. God's given me peace. God has been so good to me. Potiphar's wife. Potiphar offered something that she didn't offer. Could I tell you this? The devil never offered me peace, but Jesus gave it to me. The devil never offered me a friend that would stay. Everybody else walked out. But Jesus has. Devil never offered me forgiveness. Jesus did. Devil never offered me a new life, abundant life. But Jesus did. The devil never offered me a youth camp. But Jesus did. Oh, the devil never gave me a Jeff Ledbetter. But Jesus did. The devil never gave me a Michael Lindsay, but Jesus did. And the devil, oh, come here now. And the devil never let me know the joy of the will of God. Oh, but Jesus has. The devil never let me know peace on earth. Oh, but Jesus has. He never let me know the power of God. Oh, but Jesus has. The devil never filled my soul. Oh, but Jesus has. I'm just telling you, God has been too good. When he got to thinking about goodness, in other words, his holiness was motivated by his gratitude. Brother Aldridge, my I's are dotted, my T's are crossed.
My flip is just right. Come on now. My skirt's the right length. My necktie's right. And listen to me very carefully. I am for every bit of it. And the older and the more cantankerous I get, the more I like it. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you, Lord, have mercy. You ready? Real deep right here. But are you grateful to him? You know what you'll do? You'll protect things you're thankful for. Did you hear me now? You'll protect things you're thankful for. Oh, yeah. It won't never get little. It'll just get bigger and bigger. Hey, man. It don't get little. Oh, no. It gets just get bigger. You get thinking about how good God. You think about, here's what, listen to what Paul said. I'm done. Watch this. Think about what Paul said. Paul said this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Watch it. You know it. Unthankful. Unholy. Gratitude helped him stay holy. Two things that I've done. Pastor Finney made this statement Sunday morning. Praise God. The devil never offered me Tony Finney. Jesus did. You know what I'm saying? Give me a little second here. I'll get back to where I'm at in just a minute. Praise God. Man, the devil never offered to let us preach at a youth camp. Touch me, brother. Make sure I ain't. Whoa, it's better than a dream. Amen. You listen. Here's what Preacher Finney said. He said, if you want you a good, holy hatred for sin, you get you a good, holy love for Jesus. I was talking to somebody the other day. Talking about it yesterday. I was talking to somebody on Monday. Both conversations went back to this, balance, balance. I don't know about balance. I don't know how to weigh it out. All I know is when it comes to balance, to put the bigger load on the bigger person. That'll hit you about time you get down and get your biscuit and your gravy in a minute. But I'm telling you, Preacher Finney knocked it out in one statement. I don't know about all that. All I know is this, that everything in me, I want to love Jesus more. And Mr. R.B., the more I want to love him, the more holier I want to be, the more I want to get behind my preacher, the more I want to protect my calling, the more I want to love my wife, the more I want to love Jesus, the more I want to love the things of God. I'm telling you, oh, listen to me. This is where it's at. This is the life to live. I don't care what you're looking at. I don't care what you're chasing. You're at a out of beans compared to living for God and the joy of serving Jesus. Oh, God, help me to love you more. Man, you got it all. You got it all, but are you grateful? Last thing. Skim past all that. Number, Brother Wells ain't here. Number next. Somewhere down in there. Goes and then he gets put in prison. That prison turned into a place of protection. So you look at everything like it's your prison, but it's really your protection. Thank God for what it keeps in and what it's keeping out. But the thing that gets me the most about the text is that here she is, on a larger scale, Brother Jeff, here she is trying to keep Joseph from fulfilling the purpose that God had for him. Joseph testifies after all this things happened to him. He testifies twice. It wasn't y'all that did this. It wasn't y'all that got me down here. It was the plan of God that got me down here. The moment the plan of God began working in Joseph's life, the plan of the enemy began working in his life. Are you listening? And the only thing that kept Joseph from falling into the plan of the enemy was holiness and gratitude. And God's got some, I'm telling you, Brother Michael, you and Miss Brittany sitting right here, pastoring now. What about that? Ain't that good? I mean, praise God. I don't know what they got as a pastor, but they got a good pastor. That's what I say, amen, right there.
That's right. That's right.
Look what God's done, Brother Michael. Them young as them babies up there serving Jesus. Ain't that wonderful?
Yes.
Are you listening? You know what can rob all that from any of us? Take it for granted.
Yeah.
And give in to the bait. But his purpose is a whole lot better.
That's right. That's right.
Some of y'all, I'm just telling you that just like I'm getting to watch this young man right here.
Amen.
Just like I'm getting to watch this young man. Brother Paul, Miss Alicia.
Yeah.
Brother Paul, Miss Alicia back here. Look at that. God's got him at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, China Grove, North Carolina. And moderator of the Light of the Mountain Youth Camp. You say, well, I never could do that. Why? Can I tell you a little secret about us? Ain't none of us had no talent. Ain't none of us could do nothing else but Brother Poindexter. He's the only one that could have made it in about anything. Somebody help me right there. Somebody give me a witness on a $20 bill. Hey, man. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Brother Bowles, it ain't talent. It ain't ability. It's just somewhere on the line. God helped us want him and what he had more than what the devil was offering. And I ain't regretted not one bit turning my back on that and going, God, I'm telling you, oh, hallelujah, God's purpose is far better. Some of you got it all together. I'll tell you what you're just lacking. You're just lacking a big old dose of gratitude to him. Let that gratitude drive you holiness. Let's stand together. Brother Ledbetter's coming. Preacher, I hope I'm all right time-wise. Maybe you haven't in a little while, but I'm tell you what, night this afternoon, I know we're getting ready to go out, we're going to eat and everything else, might just be a good time to call ourselves in check and find us a little place to one more time thank him for where he has raised us to and thank him for what he's doing. While she plays, you just keep on coming. Just keep on coming, young or old, young person. How long has it been now since you just got a little quiet and thanked him? Whatever the devil's tempting you, you find you a place to start thanking God that you hadn't fallen into it yet. Bless his holy name and love on him and exalt him a little while. I'm not telling you the temptation won't be there, but I promise you he'll give you strength and power to overcome it. Because greater is he that's in me than he. So.